Welcome to Sharing the Middle, where we share the stories of the messy middles of our life. I'm Lacey, your guide for the middle, whose claim to fame this week is figuring out a custom piece of code for our Joyful Support Movement website. When I tell you, you would have thought I won an Olympic gold medal. I was throwing my arms up, hooting and hollering. I just love that feeling. So I'm obviously still riding that high 2 days later. Anyway, today I'm talking to Magalie Renee. She is a lovely, lovely person who I have a really interesting conversation with, where we both have chronic illness with our thyroid, but the opposite diagnosis. So I'm hypo and she's hyper. And it's just, for me, was very interesting to be able to see the contrast and how how similar these things are. She is so powerful. You'll definitely feel it as you listen. A little fun thing I've started to do is, if you go to LaceyShares.com, you will find a few mugs that I've been designing with my virtual art that are friendly reminders. Maybe a friendly reminder for you. Maybe a friendly reminder for someone who is watching you drink your coffee or tea. They're sassy and fun, but pretty. And honestly, I just get such a kick out of making them that I hope other people enjoy them as much as I do. So that's LaceyShares.com. Anyway, let's jump into our conversation with Magalie, and you will adore her as much as I do. Let's jump right in. Welcome to Sharing the Middle. I'm here today with Magalie Renee. I'm so excited. She is one of the superstars who rescheduled with me. And as listeners of this podcast know, they are always my favorite because life is chaos and we're trying to make it work, and she's been making it work with me. So welcome. Hello.
Hey, thank you so much for giving me this space and this opportunity to connect and chat. Yeah.
Well, why don't you take a moment and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. My name is Magalie Renee, and I'm so happy to be here. I am a reinvention architect, and I also like to call myself a legacy creator, because I support women in going from their reinventions and these huge life transitions to creating their legacy and something that they feel really passionate about.
Oh, we are so much about life transitions here at Sharing the Middle, because that's where a lot of the big work happens. And it started from my own life transition of going from not chronically ill and that kind of stuff. But when you first heard of the concept of the middle or thought of the middle, what was your initial reaction?
First, I love the title. I think the messy middle is something not enough people talk about. I attempted a series years ago, and it was all about talking about what's real and not just the aftermath and the pretty picture and what everyone brags about, the highlight reel. I love the idea of talking about what's real, talking about what people really go through and what it takes to get to the other side or get to wherever you're going. So I love the title. That was the first thing.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the other side. I don't do well here in the messiness because I'm a masochist. I guess I like to talk about it to think maybe I'll get better at it.
I think not enough people are talking about what are their coping mechanisms and how are they navigating the messy middle. Mm-hmm. The other piece that stuck out for me about your podcast was your story and being chronically ill, because I can relate to that. So that's another thing many people talk about kind of generally, but don't really discuss what it actually takes to live a good life and be functioning and potentially high functioning and doing the things you love while your body isn't cooperating. So I think that's another really important topic.
Yeah. And I think the definition of what a good life is doesn't necessarily change. It just becomes more clear. I think that's something that I've really realized lately of, I had a lot of stories impacting what I thought I wanted and what I thought I should be doing and that kind of stuff. But instead, it's just become a lot more clear of, oh, no, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is the beauty of all this stuff. And it feels a lot easier and a lot better to do that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. We like to dive into a specific messy middle, and then I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions because I'm nosy. What would you like to share? What's your middle we're going to talk about today?
Okay, so the messy middle for me is rebuilding my business right now after getting diagnosed with hyperthyroidism, which has changed my energy level and what I can accomplish in a day. Before I got this diagnosis, a friend of mine had complimented me And she said, your 100% is everybody else's 180.
Yeah.
Meaning I get so much done and I'm so high functioning in the doing,
yeah.
right? My life, that she was basically saying, it's amazing what you're able to accomplish. And it's so much more than most people can do. And now I get to shift that. And it's really challenging. It's very messy.
Well, okay. So I'm a hypothyroid gal. That's part of my chronic illness. Curious about what led you to hyper and what that even looks like, because I only hear about hypo as much, though hypo for me is sluggish, gaining weight, all of that stuff. So in my mind, I'm like, so you're hyper and you lose weight? That sounds great.
Yeah, no, not when you're as fit-seed as I am.
Yeah.
No, you end up looking very emaciated. I didn't actually know what was going on. And I was in like, I don't know if any of your listeners have experienced any thyroid issues, but the thyroid is like what manages and navigates, it like holds your hormones, right? It regulates your hormones, among other things. But essentially, chronic illnesses overall, so just to back it out, like chronic illnesses are affecting, and autoimmune issues are affecting so many women. So my hyperthyroidism, I'll share exactly what it does right after I explain this part. The chronic illnesses and the autoimmune issues is actually what caused my hyperthyroidism. I think it's due to a lot of factors. I can't pinpoint one. I think it's the food that we're exposed to in this country. I think it's the stress levels and my hustle and grind mentality. It is not for women. Like 80% of the people with autoimmune issues and chronic illnesses are women. Mm-hmm. There is a reason for that, right? We're not wired to operate in this hyper masculine energy, and we're praised for it. Mm-hmm. And it also feels really good for me to get things done.
So good.
So yeah, it feels so good to check it off the list, but we're not really wired in that way. Not to say we're not meant to accomplish, we're just meant to accomplish cyclically mm-hmm. and in a different type of way. So back to hyperthyroidism. Hyperthyroidism is the opposite of what you just said. So instead of, I do feel sluggish because my body's on overdrive. So everything is fast. My metabolism is fast. So anything I eat, the nutrients, it just goes like this.
Yeah.
So I've got to keep eating and continue to kind of try and take in nutrients. My body's not doing what it's supposed to do, right? When it comes to that. And also that means that not only the weight loss, if I don't really eat very, very well, but also the heart rate, everything is on super speed and supercharge, which makes so much sense that it's happened because of who I am and my friends, that you're like, of course you would have this. I naturally move fast. I naturally am very like peppy. This is just I'm passionate, triple fire sign. It's like a lot going on. So like, it makes sense, but your body is basically overheating.
Mm-hmm.
They even tell you to slow down on exercise. I was in the ER 3 times at the end of last year before I actually asked for the thyroid panel. And then got diagnosed because I requested it. I advocated for myself, which is bananas.
Yeah.
Bananas. I mean, I'm going to let you ask the
question. Well, first of all, preach into the choir. I had to request, even though I was in the hospital 3 times. That's bananas.
It's crazy. And like the symptoms were so obvious
yeah.
that all it took me doing was Googling and not getting crazy, but really looking into the specific symptoms. So I find it insane that so many doctors missed this and didn't give me a thyroid panel. It's nuts.
Well, what I think is really interesting is what you just said of there's this need in our culture and society to go do all these different things. And so when you were talking about the hyperthyroid side of things, it's the stuff that society is telling us to do, right? It's telling us you need to be losing weight. You need or be small. You need to be constantly going and all those things. So I imagine as a person getting that, I don't want to say naturally from your body, it's harder to recognize. It's harder to, I think, reconcile with in your brain. Because for me, I'm like, oh, that's why my body sucks. That's why I'm not meeting expectations. You know what I mean? But to hear that that's so mind-boggling in a way. Because my brain is like, wait, how do those go together?
Like a perspective. Yeah. It's a real perspective shift. And it's also it's a just notice around how we think of beauty standards, how we think of the body, mm-hmm. what our supposed to should conversations are, and how irrelevant they actually are to whether we're living the life we're supposed to live. and whether we're thriving, right? We look at some people on social media, some women in particular, that have this like perfect, the look, right, is like perfect. And that's what I am. I'm just saying when I get like the beauty standards, and we have no idea what's actually going on in their mental, physical, emotional, spiritual life. We do not know where they actually are. And so there's just that dichotomy of what we think success and thriving looks like and what it actually means.
The other thing, as you were talking, it really kind of hit me. Oh, your metabolism. If you are metabolizing food that fast, you're not getting the nutrients you need. And I also think that's such a interesting way of looking at it. Of if you're constantly moving so fast, you're missing out on so much. And so I just think that there's that can lead to a bigger picture view as well.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting because that what you just shared is also a metaphor for life. Yeah. If you're moving too fast, what I'm attempting to create is a business that requires much less pressure, stress, active doing from me, and something that is a little bit more sustainable in the way that I go about it. I'm realizing that I miss out on my creativity and on ideas that actually let me get to my goal much quicker because I'm moving so fast and in the doing of the way things are traditionally done.
Yeah.
And so if the traditional model is to go move, 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 next thing, next thing, next thing, what's the new idea, new idea, new idea? When you slow down, I can only speak for myself, but when I slow down and allow myself the space to be, and that could be in nature, that could be resting, that could be spending time with friends, that could be just taking a stroll after dinner, right? Just walking. Ideas that are much more aligned, much more creative, and much more easeful come through. And then I get to the goal much easier. But it's such a different approach than the way that we've been taught to do things that it requires a lot of discipline from me now to not beat myself up for not getting enough done.
As you were talking, I had this realization of what I like to say is I would have never slowed down, quote unquote, if my body didn't make me. Essentially, my body was like, you're done, girl.
No, no. Yeah.
So to hear you, not that you had the opposite. Obviously, you were in the hospital several times. But you have to be a lot more conscious and intentional in the slowing down. And that's, one, that's hard. But two, that's brave. It's hard to say, no, I'm not doing this. So I want to hear a little bit more about that mind shift of how you did that.
That's beautiful. Thank you for reflecting that because I'm in it. So I don't really see myself. Yeah. It's nice to have someone kind of reflect that back to me. What I heard you say was boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, how do you say no? What has it taken from me to shift into being able to hold boundaries and say no to things? A few days ago, I heard, I don't even know where I heard it or read it, but I read somewhere that, I was doing an intake with this chiropractor and somebody that does something called NET or something. It's like a body healing thing. I was doing an intake with him and he said, yeah, autoimmune issues, the root of it is a lack of boundaries. And I was like my head exploded. I was like, wait, what? Like, of course, because so many women, right? 80% of women are challenged with autoimmune issues. And most women are kind of raised to have poor boundaries. Mm-hmm. We're meant to over nurture and be there for everybody, say yes to everything, make sure everyone's okay, put ourselves last. So it's so clicked for me. And what it's taken from me is, I don't know, it was almost like a light switch. When your body is not having it, I don't know, it's just something in me changed. I just became unavailable for bullshit. Available. I'm unavailable even, this is in my personal relationships too. Like, I had a lot of little, I didn't realize this, but I had a lot of little resentments, little things. If a friend was not calling me as much as I was calling them, if I wasn't being asked in a conversation, how are you doing? And the person was just kind of like dumping on me. I mean, little things that I would normally brush under the rug and just be like, that's the way they are. I'm unavailable for that now. Like, I literally will have the conversation and say, hey, which is super uncomfortable. But I don't know, it just feels kind of like instead of holding the problem people are presenting me with or the issue, instead of holding the hurt inside of myself and saying, I'll just deal with it and change the way I kind of engage with that person. I'm actually laying it at their feet and saying, this is how that made me feel. I'm not doing that so that they'll respond to me in a specific way and become this person. I don't care what they do with that information, but I'm not going to hold it anymore, because holding it doesn't like support me, and not making it, they don't need to respond a certain way. It doesn't need to turn into anything, but I'm just letting people, I'm sharing how I feel. And then people meet me at the capacity where they can meet me. So both in my, and then I make a decision, right? If they meet me in support and friendship and reciprocity, then that's what continues to be. If they meet me in a different way, I'm not in a back and forth argument. I'm just like, I understand. Thanks for sharing. Or cool. And I let them be where they're at. And I choose differently in terms of how I spend my energy and time. And so I'm doing that in my personal life. And then in my work life, I just am like, if it doesn't feel good, if it doesn't feel good and it takes too much energy, then there gets to be a different way to do it. Either I'm asking for support, or I'm saying no to it, or I am delegating it. I'm asking for support with it, I'm delegating it, or I'm saying no to it. So I hope that gives you, I hope that's a solid answer to
it is
how that shows.
I have had a parallel kind of realization. I call it, I'm getting over my nice white lady-ness. Because that's what we're supposed to do as white ladies, is to make everybody as comfortable as possible. And our comfort is not important. And so to hear you say that, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, too. Of being like, no, I'm allowed to not do that.
Yeah.
You hear me talk a lot about my chronic illness here on Sharing the Middle and on No Shame in the Home Game. Hydration is one of the biggest things that I can do to help take care of myself. And really, this is true for anyone. There are a lot of hydration options out there, but there is one that I know that supports others with chronic illness, and that's Buoy. They have drops for hydration, different types of hydration depending on your needs. Also, some other things like mental clarity and tummy troubles. They also have a salt that you can put in things to help with your hydration. And I put mine in my coffee every morning, and it helps make it taste even better. I was able to get an affiliate link with Buoy, which, if you remember, affiliate links are good for me and you and the company, that if you want to buy it, if you use our link at joyfulsupportmovement.com/Buoy, which is B-U-O-Y. By the way, do I say that weird? I don't know. They'll know that we sent you. You can help support Sharing the Middle and the Joyful Support Movement by using our link while supporting your own hydration and other people with chronic illness. So it's wins all around. I hope you check it out and like it just as much as me.
Because I am cute and nosy as a person on the opposite, what were your symptoms that were taking you to the hospital?
So I had a racing heart. Mm-hmm. I had anxiety attacks. I'd never gotten anxiety attacks before. I was like making fun of people. This is what I get. I'm fun of getting Z and being like, all they have anxiety, which I understand why they have so much anxiety. But I was like, what is this? Anxiety attacks? I was watching some show.
Yeah.
And I'm like cackling about it. And like 2 days later, I had a literal anxiety attack, like hyperventilating, head down, trying to breathe into it. It was a mess. And then I got 5 subsequent anxiety attacks over the next, 6 months to a year, which was so not normal for me. And eventually I started to feel like I was sick. Like I had the flu, but I had no cold. And then I started getting a racing heart. So when I went to the urgent care, my heart rate was at 131.
Resting?
And my resting heart rate was 131. That's like somebody who's ran miles, a marathon. And so it was 131. They told me to leave my car. They said, just get an Uber and go to the ER. Do not drive. Like, do not drive. Do not pass. Yeah. Do not bike. So I get to the ER. That was the first thing. And so the other thing was that I thought I was in like perimenopause, which doesn't make sense because my body, my gyno was like, everything is checking out. Mm-hmm. If you want to have kids, I'm in that good, I don't know what you'd call that, but like my feminine shape. I'm in like really good health in that area. And I was getting these like severe hot flashes. So it was December in New York, and I had a huge event, and I had to take my coat, my sweater, everything, my hat off, and it was freezing. And I was literally boiling. There was like steam coming out of my jacket. Like I was so hot, but it wasn't perimenopause. It was that I was overheating because of my overactive thyroid. So those are some of the symptoms. Wanting to pass out, feeling like you're going to pass out was another one. Probably extreme emotions, mm-hmm. like extreme up and down emotions. Like I was like so depressed and then I'd be so happy. It was very manic in a way. It's hard to talk about this, but that's what was going on when I was in like a thyroid storm.
Well, it makes sense. Like if you're having anxiety attacks and your heart rates go up, then I'm sure your body is like releasing adrenaline and all these different things. And you're, if there's anything that I've learned is that hormones are such a mess.
But we need them.
We need them. And they have to be in a certain way. Science is just now starting to study women's bodies. So.
But that's because men dominated the field. Yeah. That wasn't a field that was open to women. So, of course, men aren't studying women the way women would study women.
Yeah. So you've got all this stuff happening. You go to the hospital multiple times. Then you say, give me these tests. They give them to you. You get your diagnosis. Did you feel relieved or were you frustrated? What was that like?
So relieved. Oh, I was with my friend on the third visit when I asked. And the nurse comes back and she goes, well, your thyroid is a little bit off. And I said, well, let me see the numbers. And they weren't a little bit. Literally, my friend goes, a little bit off. These are insane. None of us knew anything about like, but you could tell the numbers were not normal. Like they were so beyond normal. We go a little bit off, but I think she probably wasn't allowed to diagnose me. Which is why her language was that way. But the relief that washed over me was beyond. I was like so excited. And my friend goes, why are you happy right now? I said, you have no idea what it's like to know that your body isn't working and to not know what it is. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're thinking of the worst case scenario. You're like, am I crazy? Am I losing my mind? Am I in perimenopause? Which, to be honest, I'm not trying to rush menopause. No, listen, it's beautiful. We get to be in our crone era, but I'd like to live this out, ride this wave a little longer. So, like, there were so many things. I'm like, could it be cancer? What am I missing? The relief was real.
Yeah. I say, for me, is diagnosis is for me. It didn't change how I felt internally, but it changed how I could talk to people about it. And that is always such a gift to be able to say, this is what this is, and that then people can wrap their mind around it. I also love that you also said it's not all in my head, because a big part of my own process was like realizing, yes, of course I think about what is happening, but that does not mean that my thought is what is making it happen. And so especially because of the culture of, go, dude, we're constantly blaming everything on ourselves and this like hyper-individualism and all this stuff, that it's taken me a while to learn, oh, I have the thought because it's happening. My thought is not making it. So it's been so hard of, when I think, oh, I'm tired, I need to lay down, my body's feeling tired. It's telling my brain that.
Yeah, that's...
It has taken me... Really, you said, I want to make sure I understood this right, so you've had all this happen, and this has caused you to change your business.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. It's so interesting. It's caused me to change the back end of my business. Mm-hmm. So my systems. So it's a few things. I like the idea to articulate what I want to say. The idea of the masculine and the feminine working together. Mm-hmm. So in order for me to be able to be in my flow and actually operate at the highest level of my femininity, masculine structures in my business need to be super fundamentally sound. The processes, the systems, the structures, the way things happen, the steps, automation, all these things need to be kind of fundamentally sound so that I can actually operate in my cycle, mm-hmm. right? I can actually rest when I need to, because certain things are going to keep working whether I'm fully present in it, doing it or not. I just had something called the Renaissance Woman Virtual Retreat. And this was for women who were going through life reinventions and want to create something really powerful from it, want to alchemize it and become the best version of themselves, or launch a business, or start a passion project, or write a book, or whatever it is. We had about 208 women sign up. We had about 145 throughout the weekend, and about 50 that were like the strong, 50 that stayed throughout, just about. And what's interesting is I asked for support. I reached out to my network of colleagues and coaches and friends, and they were doing all of the Zoom management was handled, even bringing women in, collaborating with women and having them do some of the marketing for me. Like there was just so much ease and flow in me creating this event, because I did it in a way that was supportive to my needs, right? The foundation and the structures were tight and the marketing plan, everything was planned in advance. So it wasn't a rush, get it done, freaking out, hair on fire kind of situation. And so I'm changing the things in my back end, but also I have been working with people who are launching projects and launching businesses for years. And I also have a corporate arm, an actual company called Workplace Catalyst, and we work with companies. And so we've worked with like Eventbrite and Citigroup and a bunch of names, some really amazing work. And even in that, now I have facilitators that support the process, right? So that I don't need to be the one doing the facilitating. I have my framework and my process and I teach them and they go out and they facilitate. Mm-hmm. And the women that are coming into the Renaissance woman, who's my ideal client, when she comes in, even what I teach these women, I'm no longer teaching, get it done. I have a process that is, I call it embodied achievement, right? Embodied accomplishment, where we're learning how to do through being. We're learning how to get things done without burning ourselves down. We're learning how to operate at the highest level with ease, with flow, and there's structure that's needed, but also like connecting to our bodies and somatic work that can help you feel more at ease when you're doing work. Mm-hmm. Body connected tools that help you to do that. So I've been practicing them in my business. And then I'm also teaching people how to do it. So a lot has changed.
Do you feel like you've gotten to a quote unquote end?
I'm in the middle. I don't think there's going to be this magical other side of this.
Yeah.
I think my body may heal, but even if it does, there's always a chance that if I go back to what I was doing. So even if I get on the other side of the diagnosis and I no longer experience the symptoms, the change is a permanent change. Yeah. This is the new version, the upgraded version of who I am. So I'll always be in the middle, I think.
I feel like that's a good endpoint to your story. I do like to ask people for like a piece of tangible advice because I love a piece of advice. I love a takeaway. What would you say is either something that maybe would have helped you or something that you live by, something like that?
I'd say two things. Listen to your body and love your life. Those are the two things. If there's something you don't love about your life right now, shift it. Shift it now. Work on shifting it now because your body eventually will respond to that. And not in necessarily a positive way. And I think the other piece and the first piece of it all is listen to your body. Your body's telling you everything it needs you to know to make sure that you love your life.
How can people find you, work with you, all that jazz?
Yeah, jump on to Instagram. I think that's one of the best places. It's Magalie_Renee. That's MAGALIE_RENE. I'll send a link and like with a gift that anyone who's going through a life transition or wants to create something powerful or is in the process of creating something powerful on the other side of their maybe post-divorce, maybe post-career change or something, I'll give them a special gift and I'll share that with you. And the last piece is that I'm hosting the Renaissance Woman Virtual Retreat. This is my second one and it's called Divorce to Destiny. That's sort of the theme. And it's going to be on October 26th and 27th. I'd love to have you all there. We'll share that as well.
Awesome. That would be great. Thank you so much for sharing your story and everything you've gone through and just your middle with us today. Thank you so much. Hey, thanks for sharing the middle with me today. I hope our conversation resonated with you wherever you are in your own messy middle. Make sure to visit us at sharingthemiddle.com to find show notes, resources, and other information about today's episode. And you can always submit your own middle story for a future episode through the website. Your voice matters, and we want to hear it. Make sure to connect with us on social media at Joyful Support Movement or me at Lacey Shares to continue the conversation. You can always support the show by leaving a review, sharing with a friend, or joining the Joyful Support Village. And remember, the middle can feel a little less messy when we share it together.